Hey listeners, I'm Ksenia Ova and this is the Gova Ed Podcast, your number one resource for music educators, innovators and edtech enthusiasts. This is episode 4, Piano Lessons for the Aging Brain. Now, it has been a while since I have spoken to you all, but I am back now and I'm really excited to get going with this episode. It is a special episode as I will be introducing a guest later on, but for now, let us start by talking about aging. So, in very simple terms, aging is the process of becoming older. However, brain aging can be described by a multitude of processes such as decreasing brain volume or cognitive changes, with the most marked changes happening after 70 years of age. Now, anything that I will be talking about today, any studies that I will be mentioning in this episode, please remember that all of the references, as always, are left and shared with you in the description box of the episode. So, many brain regions get differentially affected during aging, meaning that some areas get age faster than others. The prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for cognitive behavior, decision making, and short-term memory, or in general the executive functions, is one of the most affected areas during aging. But importantly, even though an aging brain experiences so many changes, it still retains the ability to learn. Now, the ability to learn can be described as something that scientists refer to as neuroplasticity, that is in neuroscience context. So neuroplasticity is simply the capacity of the brain to change itself and adapt in response to stimuli. For a long time, this neuroplastic ability has been assumed to peak at a young age and then gradually decrease as we get older. However, the growing evidence suggests that older adults are able to cope with complex practices in terms of learning complex tasks such as, say, improvising on a musical instrument. So, therefore, we can assume that there is an increasing amount of evidence that the brains of older adults are still able to change and learn new skills. So from what I understand, it is difficult to give a more precise answer as to how neuroplasticity changes with aging. There's simply no simple answer or graph that we can use to answer this question. Also, it is difficult to measure neuroplasticity. You could perhaps do brain scans and try to look for some changes in the brain, but I just don't know what kind of changes you would actually be looking for. Possibly you would be looking at a functional MRI where you can see the activity of the brain while performing certain tasks. I think this is possibly something that perhaps one of our future guests could clarify for us. Anyway, as we move forward, let's talk about some studies. So there are some longitudinal studies, that is, studies that enroll a group of people or animals and then test them multiple times for example, a year. However, those studies usually focus on one specific area of the brain or one activity. So doing brain scans is one of the ways to measure neuroplasticity. Also, seeing an improvement in somebody's performance in a particular task when that person had a stroke or has dementia is an example and sort of proof of neuroplasticity, but I would not use the word prove actually probably ever in a strictly neuroscience or scientific context. So to sum up, it is difficult to measure and describe neuroplasticity more specifically. So I am interested in how musical practice in older adults could contribute not only to learning the musical skill, but also possibly through the means of neuroplasticity, improve other skills and functions in the elderly, such as memory, attention, or motor skills. So therefore, I looked at some research that focuses on how music in particular is able to enhance cognitive function in older adults. So a recent study by a few scientists found that musical improvisation enhanced memory, especially when the content was emotional compared to a neutral content. The author suggested that creating something musically novel, especially in the context of social interaction, could be an effective way of potentially preventing memory impairment. So when we talk about creating something musically novel in the context of social interaction, that could mean improvising with your piano teacher or improvising in a small ensemble. So that could be a great way of supposedly preventing memory impairment, according to this particular study that I'm referring to. So here's another study by somebody called Seinfeld and colleagues, who found that piano lessons improved the cognitive abilities of the elderly participants, such as attention, visual motor tracking, motor function, and processing speed. So that's very interesting. So study of 2013. Once again, it will be referenced in the description box of this episode. And finally, a recent meta-analysis focused on studies utilizing musical instrument playing as an intervention to improve the cognitive functioning of older adults with and without cognitive impairment. This meta-analysis supports using different types of instrumental playing as an intervention to improve cognitive domains in older adults with varying levels of cognitive aging. Now, for you to learn more about these different types of instrumental playing that this study used as part of the intervention, please go ahead and look into Kim and Yu 2013 reference in the description. So let's get to the exciting part of this podcast, to speak about her experience and perspectives on teaching piano for the elderly. I have brought one of the COVAED teachers and drives of piano lessons for the aging brain episode, somebody called Sophia. Sophia, welcome. And I know she's really resonating with this topic, and she finds working with the elderly very rewarding. So today Sophia will take over the following part of the episode to chat with you all, and this is really exciting, and it's going to be quite a nice and broad view on the matter from a music educator with an interesting background. So I hope you will enjoy listening to her today, and a huge welcome to Sophia, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to our listeners today.
Hello, Xenia. Thank you so much for inviting me. It is a pleasure to be part of this podcast and to talk about such an exciting topic. From the very beginning of my career as a piano and singing teacher, I have always been passionate about adult education and found it extremely interesting to work with elderly learners as well. As a performing artist, I have also given many concerts for people with dementia and have been absolutely fascinated by the joy that music brings to their lives. But let's come back to our topic and talk about piano lessons for the aging brain. In my 13 year of teaching practice, I've had the pleasure of working with piano students of all ages, from young children to 80-year-old beginners. And I must say that I have not had a single case where a higher age has been a disadvantage for learning to play the piano. On the contrary, I am convinced that learning an instrument at an advanced age has just as many benefits as it does for children. So, the most important thing for me when working with elderly learners is to understand what their strengths are and where more help would be needed from my side. I'm sure you will agree with me that each student is unique and needs an individual approach. Having that in mind, I like to include into my lessons different stretching exercises, not only for the fingers, but also for the entire body, as well as elements of Alexander technique. What I really love about elderly students is that they're incredibly motivated. As a teacher, it is very important to me to maintain this motivation and give my students the best possible support, even when things get a little challenging. I'm always inspired by the various skills which elderly beginners bring to my piano lessons, and most of them are not even aware of their own possibilities. For example, some may have by nature a great sense of rhythm or can play good by ear. Many of the students I had the pleasure working with were already familiar with classical music as they were regular concert goers and listened to it in their spare time. To see then how quickly they were making progress and unleashing their own potential has always been the biggest reward for me as a teacher. I think motivation and joy should be the basis of all learning, and to have a sense of achievement for the student is very important, especially at the beginning of mastering an instrument. Of course, I must admit, learning to play the piano at an older age has also its challenges. For example, the fine motor skills and the flexibility of the hands decrease, as does coordination. However, overcoming these challenges and improving those skills will have immense benefits for the physical and mental well-being, including a greater body mobility, better brain function, and an enhanced confidence. For me, there are clearly a lot of advantages in taking up piano lessons as an adult. For example, in comparison to children, adult learners have the ability to organize themselves and work towards their goals in a more well-structured way. Also, adults can better understand complex relationships and movement sequences on the intellectual level. This can make the learning process easier and faster. Don't forget that as an adult learner, you will already have many different skills in your toolbox, which you have gathered throughout your life. And I can assure you that these skills will also help you learn something entirely new, such as piano playing. And of course, there will always be your teacher to support you. I am a firm believer that acquiring new skills and taking up new habits during our life is essential for intellectual development and happiness. I know from experience that leaving our comfort zone and trying out something new isn't easy and can feel a bit uncomfortable at the beginning. Believe me, as a musician, I am regularly confronted with it. But my experience shows it is always worth the risk. Accompanying a person who has gone out of the comfort zone, dares to try something completely new, and then earns their success is one of the best experiences for me as a teacher. This is why I became so interested in piano lessons for the elderly, because doing something entirely new at the age of 70 or 80 requires courage and a lot of patience, and I am deeply inspired by those people. On this occasion, I would love to share with you some feedback from elderly piano students a colleague of mine and I have worked with, and who have begun learning the instrument in the 60s and 70s. All of them agree that practicing the piano has been extremely stimulating for their brain and had a positive impact on their self-esteem and emotional well-being. They have noticed improvements in memory, coordination, multitasking, focus, and even their patience. One student told me that after one of our lessons, she could really feel her brain having a good workout, and that a good piano practice always left her in a refreshed and content state of mind. Another student said that playing the piano gives her a sense of accomplishment and helps doing two different things with two hands at the same time. It also takes her mind off work and teaches her to look ahead, making daily tasks easier. Most importantly, mastering a piano piece just gives great pleasure, and some elderly students describe piano playing as the highlight of their life. They say taking up piano lessons made their life more colorful, and they're looking forward to coming home to the instrument every day. Hearing this kind of feedback gives me such pleasure and confirms my belief that playing the piano has tremendous benefits for the aging brain. When talking about piano lessons for the elderly, we shouldn't forget about the social impact it can have on their lives. I am sure our listeners will agree that music is a universal language and has the power of bringing people together, no matter of age, experience, or nationality. Learning a musical instrument is like learning a new language. It broadens our horizon and helps deepen our connections with other people on an emotional level. I know a couple of elderly piano students who began learning piano together with their grandchildren. They help each other practicing, make music together, and even prepare for the same exams. For both parties, this can be extremely motivating and help strengthen the bond between two generations. Another example is when a couple decides to take piano lessons together. This way, they can share a mutual hobby, and at gatherings, they can let the rest of the family be part of their musical journey. Piano is a versatile instrument, and it can adapt to all other instruments as well as singers. So, even if you can play just a bit, it will already enable you to communicate with other musicians, because, guess what? You'll be speaking the same language. And not to forget, when playing for others, you'll be able to bring joy for them as well and be a source of inspiration. Especially for people who live alone or must isolate during a pandemic like we have now, having regular piano lessons can significantly help dealing with anxiety and depression. If lessons in person are not possible, then having online lesson is a really great option nowadays. The contact and interaction you would make with your teacher would be no less valuable for this reason. Also, once Zoom or Skype on your computer is set up, it is actually surprisingly easy to have an online piano lesson. I have been teaching online for quite some time now and can reassure you that it works very well, even with students from different countries. Music is known to lower stress levels in both humans and animals, and focusing on playing the piano could also help break away from existing health problems and learn to be fully present in the moment. So today, I would like to encourage all of our listeners to consider the opportunity to learn piano or any other musical instrument. It is never too late to start, and please don't let age discourage you. Coming back to the topic of age-related mental disorders, we know that with age, the brain can shrink. Cognitive functions such as memory and speed of processing can deteriorate, and to prevent that, we must stimulate our brains. For that, it is recommended to stay socially, physically, and mentally active, and there are, of course, a lot of activities one can do. However, according to neuropsychologist Catherine Loveday of the University of Westminster, open quote, music probably does something unique. It stimulates the brain in a very powerful way because of our emotional connection with it. Music reaches parts of the brain that other things can't. It is a strong cognitive stimulus that grows the brain in a way that nothing else does. And the evidence that musical training enhances things like working memory and language is very robust. End quote. I have read this recently in an article by John Rampton and found it very powerful. Learning an instrument seems to be indeed one of the best activities we can do for the benefit of our brain. And based on my personal experience, it is never too late to start to develop a new skill. So, if you've never taken piano lessons before, but have always been curious about it, now is a wonderful time to start.
So thank you very much for your professional opinion, Sophia, and for wonderful insights into the experiences of your piano students. I would also like to say special thank you to a PhD researcher from the University of Warwick who actually helped with compiling more sciencey bits of content for our listeners of today's episode and who prefer to stay anonymous. So that's all from the Cova Ed podcast today. So thanks so much for listening. Happy teaching, happy learning, happy musicking, and I'll see you in the next episode.